Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to live and retire in Malta? You'll find out in just a moment, and we'll introduce you to our guests today. We have Eric Tennant and Michael Salone. Eric is French, born and raised in Paris, where he lived and worked as a business journalist until Michael and he left for Malta. Michael is American by birth, born in Hollywood, Florida. I've been there. And became French while living in Paris. An HR executive for two very large conglomerates, Michael has moved around a lot for his companies and traveled the world. He and Eric decided that life was too short to pass up a move to somewhere warm, sunny, and yet still close to Eric's family in Paris. They decided to move to Malta in 2014 and opened up a couple of rental properties before restoring an ancient property to become a boutique hotel, Sanglia Suites. So welcome, guys. Welcome to the podcast, Eric and Michael. Thank you so much for coming. And we'll ask everything that we wanted to know about Malta. So why did you decide? So you did move from Paris to Malta? And why did you decide upon Malta of the place to settle down?
Well, you know, we were becoming a bit disenchanted with Paris. I mean, it sounds a bit silly, but it's true. And we also, I lost my job. I think Michael had a problem with his job too. So we decided it was time to move to other pastures. And that's why we started looking for countries to emigrate to and spend the rest of our life. And after considering several places like Bangkok, like Marrakesh, like, what was it?
Even Miami. We went to Miami.
Yeah, exactly, because Michael's from Miami. Okay. We ended up in Malta for a couple of reasons that we can explain a little more afterwards. But that's basically what happened.
Understand. So tell us about, where is Malta? I know you live in a part of Malta called Sanglia, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yes.
And Malta. Can you explain, as far as geography, where is Malta and how large is Malta? Tell us a little bit about that.
So Malta is a tiny island in the middle of the Mediterranean. It's part of Europe now, but it's between Sicily and Africa. So between Libya and Sicily, if you will. And we live in a small town inside. So Malta has about 550,000 people. So it's quite small. And we live in a town, a city technically called Sanglia, which has about 2,700 people, but it's within an area that's quite dynamic. So it's quite a big surprise for us as well.
It's a very cultural area. It's a very historical area.
So it's even 2,700 people, is that considered, you know, well populated? Is it, or is it like?
I think Malta is the densest country in Europe.
So Malta is 550,000 people in total, and where we live is what?
2,700.
In fact, you know, everything's so small here that, yes, it is. It could be considered as populated because it's very dense. The island is only 30 kilometers long, so you can imagine there's not a lot of room.
Yes, understood. Okay, how about the climate? You move to a place that, of course, you want a warm and sunny climate. What's the climate like all year round?
Well, the climate is pretty good. It's sometimes too hot. It's south of Europe, so it's very hot. So in summer, for me, it's too hot. For Michael, it's perfect. But so Winters are pretty mild. It's about 13 degrees centigrade on average, the lowest. I mean, can go lower, but it's very rare. It's a bit humid, but it's really doable. And in summer, like I said, it's very hot, but the best months are actually spring and fall. So October is to me the best month, because the weather is very nice and the sea is still very warm. So it's, yeah, the climate is pretty good.
We have what they call here metacanes. So Malta reminds me a lot of South Florida in some respect, because it gets very cold in South Florida, even if it's not cold temperature-wise. It's very humid, but right. It doesn't last very long. And it gets very hot, of course, in the summer. In Florida, we have hurricanes. Here they have metacanes once in a while, big storms that come from the Mediterranean. But other than that, it's a very easy place to live climate-wise.
And also, I think so in winter here, in the middle of January, you can have lunch in a T-shirt at a restaurant outside in the sun.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's very nice. If you're in the shade, it's another story. But in the sun, it's always very warm.
That's nice. It's nice that you could do that.
The tourism authority likes to brag that we get 300 days of sunshine.
That's important, especially, you know, you're from Florida. I lived in Florida. I live in Phoenix, Arizona now. I like the warmth. I don't want to see snow anymore.
No.
Only on a picture on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay. Do you get hurricanes or metacanes?
We call it metacanes.
Metacanes. Okay.
It's big storms, basically.
You know, at a certain kilometer per hour, it becomes a named storm. But other than that, it's nothing like what you get.
Okay, yeah. Nothing like Florida gets. No. Does Malta have a large expat community?
Malta has a lot of expat tourists. Let's start with that. A lot of English used to come to Malta. The area we live in has a big expat community in the sense that not people who are here for work expats, but people who've come either to retire or to have a second home. And that's been quite attractive to us as well, because in the area, so the area we live in is called the Three Cities as well, which is Bormla, Birgu, and Sanglia. And so there's lots of expats who live here and from all over, and that's been a quite nice way to integrate.
And it's quite nice, because in the other parts of Malta, especially the economic capital called Sliema, you also have a lot of expats, but they're here to work. So it's people who are here for an assignment. For example, they're going to stay three years maximum or something. So they don't really integrate to the society because they know they're going to leave sooner or later. Whereas the part where we live, it's people who are here to stay. So it makes a big difference.
In your community where you live, are you able to make friends? Have you found it easy to make friends in your community?
Super, super easy. I think when our first summer here, I think it was summer, we got invited to the, so you have, the other thing you have to remember, we're coming from France where there's 365 cheeses. Malta has 365 churches. So for a small place, and it's very Catholic. So neither one of us are really, well, we're not religious. Right. And we weren't quite, that was the one thing we weren't sure about. But at our age, we said, you know, we are who we are. And I think the first summer we got invited to the local church roof for a barbecue. I thought, well, this will be the real test. Is the church going to fall down, or how are the people going to accept us? And I think half of the people on the roof were gay and super, super friendly. And to this day, everyone in the neighborhood it's really not even a subject.
No.
So it's easy to make friends here if you make an effort as well. You know, you can't just come in and say everything should be like it was.
Right. You're not like, yeah, I'm from the US, so I expect this to be here and that,
I'm here from
Paris, and we're used to this. You know, you're an immigrant now.
Mm-hmm. True.
But I understand, and I correct me if I'm wrong, that Malta is one of the most LGBTQ friendliest countries.
Absolutely.
Anywhere?
Well, we just had Eurovision, Euro Pride here. So we had 30,000 gays descend on Malta last year.
God.
And it was a really big event, and it was not a big deal. You know, it was, again, very well accepted. The government supports it. Eric will tell the story about the law.
Yeah, so it's very surprising here because it's a, like we said, very Catholic. They had to divorce until 2013 was prohibited. They had to take a referendum to actually legalize divorce, and it was not an easy thing. It was 2013, and it passed by only 55%. But the gay marriage passed as simple as that. So everybody voted at the parliament. Everybody voted in favor of it, except one guy. Can you imagine? So that's very surprising. So abortion is still illegal here, for example. So you have these very, you know, mixed signals, like which are naturally linked to religion. But things like anything that has to do with the gays is pretty well accepted. We don't understand why, but that's the way it is.
That's amazing. Yeah. They just legalized divorce?
In 2013, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very it's very unexpected.
It's different, but and when did do you remember when they legalized gay marriage?
3 years ago, I think, or something.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly before we got
okay.
Nope.
No. The gay marriage. So before you could have a partnership, but then now you the marriage. No, the marriage. I think maybe 5 years ago. I don't remember.
Anymore. Okay. Okay.
And there's another thing also here. You can choose your gender very easily.
It's now very, that's different.
Yeah, it's very surprising.
It's very, yeah, for progressive. For a country that has 365 churches,
yeah, no,
they're pretty progressive.
Yeah, very unexpected.
I'd say so, even more progressive than one of your neighboring countries that you...
Which one?
Italy.
Italy?
Oh, yeah, Italy, yeah.
Yeah, you can't
Italy has
get married there. They
no?
You can't get married in Italy with same-sex marriage, but they will recognize your marriage because they're part of the EU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe in Italy they still don't have gay marriage, but they will have it eventually, I think. I mean, I don't think there are many countries in the EU that don't have gay marriage, actually. But maybe Italy is one of the last ones. I don't know. But it's no longer a topic within Europe now, you know. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe some countries still don't have it. Or maybe in Eastern Europe, yes, it is still, it can be a problem, but not in Western Europe.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. How about language? I'm sure Malta has their own native language.
Yeah, I don't Malta know what that's called.
Maltese. Yeah. Okay.
And it sounds about 70% Arabic, 20% Italian, and 10% French, English, and a couple others, because Malta was invaded so many times. But what you'll hear mostly is an Arabic sound.
So it's all integrated and all mixed. Okay. And does anyone speak English on the island?
Everybody speaks English on the island. That's a big advantage of Malta. And that's probably also one of the reasons why we moved here. So and also it's an official language. So you're totally autonomous if you speak English here. If you go on the government website, it'll be in Maltese and English. So you don't have to hire a translator or anything to do anything. You can do everything by yourself. That's very, very, very convenient. A few people can't speak English, but it's very rare. And everybody speaks English.
Well, that sure helps, you know, if you're an immigrant and you're coming over and don't know the language. I mean, do you know Maltese?
Well, we took a little bit of Maltese. I took 2 years, I think. You took 1 year or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is that it's not a super easy language. It's not it's doable, but it's not super easy. But the fact that everybody speaks English, and that whenever you try to speak Maltese to a Maltese, they will reply in English. So it's a bit like, it kind of defeats the purpose. And also, honestly, you know, it's spoken by 550,000 people. So you're like, okay. And they all speak English. Yeah, okay. Well,
so everybody just speaks English, pretty much.
Yeah, well, yeah, but there's a big, you know, right now there's a lot of foreigners in Malta, and the local population is you know, like in a lot of places in the world, they're thinking there are too many foreigners, they're trying to change the culture, blah, blah, blah. And so they put pressure on foreigners to learn Maltese just to show they're integrating. But in fact, nobody does, because for the reasons I just explained. So it's a common thing on forums and articles. It's like, so I think the government just passed a law saying that new immigrants who come here to work must learn at least a few words of Maltese, for example. It's a sort of prerequisite, but it's pretty useless because they never use those few words. But that's what
so in this case, when Eric's talking about foreigners, he's talking about migrants who are here to work.
Right, so like from other EU countries or?
Not even, a lot of Indians have come here to provide, to do service jobs that the Maltese now don't want to do. And so to be frank, if you're a white foreigner, it's different than if you're a brown foreigner, of how that language aspect is accepted. But like they say bonjour for good morning, which comes from the French. They say grazie for thank you, which comes from the Italians. So there's a few things that are easy to pick up, but having a conversation is quite difficult, especially, and a lot of Maltese mix Maltese and English when they're discussing between themselves. So we're not fully to blame.
Fun fact, because the word for God in Maltese is Allah, at church, a Catholic church, you pray Allah, because that's the word they use. That's always very surprising to people.
Yeah, it's very, that is very surprising. Okay. All right. Is there a vibe that people, Maltese people, have about Americans? Do they think Americans are, privileged?
I guess that's mine to answer.
Yeah, that's your answer.
You know, it's like anywhere I've lived in the world or visited as an American. It depends on what's going on in the world at the time. It depends on the leadership, and it depends on the American in front of you. Even myself, when I'm with other Americans, sometimes you just don't want to be together because you have different points of view. Or some Americans are a lot more integrating. They like to integrate more than others. I think my HR background has helped me because I have to deal with so many different kinds of people. But it's true, when there are big things happening in the world, presidential races or wars, you quickly have to assess what the person in front of you is thinking or doing. If you take the immigration issue, a lot of the Maltese, not a lot, there's more Maltese I thought would support Trump because of his immigration stuff. But next week it might be something else. So it really depends on who it is. But in general, the Maltese are very accepting of everybody. They're very open and welcoming. They've had different cultures on the island forever and ever. So they know it's temporary. I don't think that's an issue. So the Americans are not, there's a big English impact here because they've been coming for years and years. So when they come across Americans, it's actually a much smaller population of foreigners. So they're quite interested with the Americans. So I actually try to behave better than I normally would, because I know that I'm being assessed.
To be a good example.
Yes.
That's great. That's great. And they treat you like, as being from France, they treat you like a brother, probably.
Oh, like a brother? No, because actually the French, the last time the French were here, it was during the Napoleon era, and they didn't behave very well. So it's actually that's the reason why it was an English colony for some time. It's because the Maltese called the English to get rid of the French. But it's a long time ago. It was in 1850 or something like that. In 1802, I think, or something. No, I'm kidding. I mean, it is true. The history part is true. But, I mean, this is a long time ago. You know, the French get treated like everywhere, being called arrogant and snob.
No, but but Eric gets treated a little bit, not special. What's the word? He's exotic because there aren't a whole lot of French walking around except on holiday. So somebody who lives here is French. They want to know, why would you leave Paris to come to our little island? Or why would you leave Miami to come to, we get that a lot. Why would you leave Florida for this place? So they're very, we don't see it as a difference.
No, and we're very well accepted. I think we are very well accepted here already. We never encountered
great
hostility.
So when you moved, did you transport a pet at all? Just out of curiosity.
No, not me. No.
How
no,
do you do that? Do you put them on the plane?
And they say,
I'm saying he's the pet.
Like I'm the pet.
He's the pet I transported.
No, we didn't have a pet. No.
No, we didn't have a pet to transport.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering how you get them over as well. But okay. Does Malta have any type of LGBTQ neighborhood or gayborhood like we do here in the U.S.? Or is it so integrated and so kind of normal that everyone is just, you know, live and let live type?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there is a one gay bar. And I think that's about it. You know, like you said, it's pretty integrated. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty common. So you don't have to have special areas.
But not one gay bar because it's small and everything. It's one gay bar because people interact between themselves. There's parties. It's very integrated. If you go to anybody's party, there'll be gay people there, and it's just not a thing. There are gay parties. There are dance parties, which we're probably too old for at this point. So they do have party, they do have club nights, you know, there's a lot of that, but it's not a gay bar, it's a venue where somebody's throwing a party.
And there's certainly not a gay area, that's for
sure. There's not a gay ghetto at all, and there's not an area. Now, that being said, in the three cities where we live, because it's culturally interesting and you have interesting people who move here, there are several gays in the area.
So. There's a street nearby called Two Gate Street. And its nickname is To Gay Street. So that tells you.
I could imagine. Yeah. Okay. But that's refreshing too, you know, because if everything is integrated and there's no need. See, here in the States, there are some places, you know, like I go to that I'm like, oh, where's the gay bar? And it's a fairly large city. And they're like, oh, we don't have one. And I say, why? And they say, well, we're pretty much integrated and we don't need one. But still, being in the States, I feel I need my little safe place to go to.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just my opinion. I think there is a need. And unfortunately, all these apps that come out that people just go on got rid of a lot of the gay bars because of, you know, that type of hookup. Electronically, so to speak. But if I'm having, you know, a group of friends, I like that camaraderie, you know, bunch of gay men in one place drinking and have a good time, you know. But here, I feel like there's a need. There, it might be totally different because it doesn't matter.
We have an active community here. There's a website called gaymalta.com. So that's interesting maybe for your listeners or allied rainbow communities. And they always publish hikes and drag brunches and, you know, dinners and sunset things. You know, we have boat, you know, we have lots of boat things in the summertime. So there's always something going on. But it's true, I think, in our generation as well, we're used to finding that place where you could be out with it. You know, you just showed up and you met people. So I think that's us.
It's a generation.
I think it's changed and we're not going to change it, but we're quite lucky. I mean, even Paris, the Marais in Paris is all going away. It's all Gucci and Chanel. It's not at all. A few bars, but it's not even. It's a shame because there's some people who just need to wander around and find themselves versus go on.
Right. Yep. Yeah, totally get it. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the local economy. What's it like? Give me some sort of idea in our audience, an idea of what it costs to buy a single family home or a rental. How much does it cost for a rental?
Yeah,
like, let's say on average, 2-bedroom, 2-bath.
So housing is quite expensive now. I mean, for a 2-bedroom, how much would you pay? A rent would be 1,000 euros, I suppose. Huh?
Yeah. From where?
Depending on where. Yeah, because you've got the economy capital, because Lima, I mentioned it earlier, that's more expensive because that's where all the expats are and that's where all the businesses are. And then in places like ours, it is less expensive. But yeah, it's probably in the region of 1,000 euros for a two-bedroom.
For a rental? How about a home to buy, purchase? So, what's the average?
So to buy, like a house, for example, that's pretty expensive. That's, I don't know, it's very often about in the region. If you want something decent, it's about 1 million.
A million?
So, no, there were some places listed for 300,000 recently, but, you know, it depends on if you're going to renovate something that's old. Because remember, the houses here, the hotel we did, the bottom part's 500 years old. So that's not simple to renovate. And then you have new builds, but I'd say you can probably get something around 500 or less, depending, again, if it's an expat moving here, you would have a little more money to invest.
Right.
If you want something, if you want like a nice apartment facing the sea, that's going to be more in the region of 1 million euros. Especially, wow, you can find cheap apartments, like cheap, really cheaper apartments here to buy, but they're of a very bad quality.
Huh.
And you're not going to have a house with a pool here, you know?
Oh, no.
No, this is the thing I probably miss the most, is having a house with a pool and a garage and my land and nobody next to me, you know. I look over the fence maybe, but first of all, it's an old country, so they're not built like that. There's very little land. There are homes like that here, but then it's several million and not very easy to find. Mm-hmm.
So it's not cheap to live in Malta.
It used to be. So when we arrived almost 10 years ago, it was really very affordable. We bought our apartment for probably half of what we would sell it for today, at least. So you could rent for next to nothing. We rented a house during the works of the apartment. We rented a house, a full house, for 450 euros. Facing the sea, it was absolutely fantastic. But now all this has changed because the economy is very good here. And, you know, there's a huge growth, there's construction everywhere, it's really in the development phase, and of course, that creates inflation.
Word got out.
Yeah, yeah.
The secret got out, I guess, and everybody...
And taxes, you know, you don't have any city taxes here, so that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, you don't have tax for the rubbish, you don't have tax for, you don't have parking is free.
Everywhere.
There's things that you wouldn't even expect them to do. The tourist tax, so for our hotel, we just told somebody they were there for a week and they had to pay, 5 euros or something. Tourist tax, which, you know, if you went anywhere, it'd be 10
That's
euros
it?
A day. Yeah, yeah. So there's still things.
Least.
Yeah, yeah.
At
yeah,
least.
So some things are extremely cheap and some things are becoming pretty expensive. Like restaurants, for example, now they're pretty expensive.
Do you find that when word got out and it became popular, did you find expats moving in and purchasing the homes and creating Airbnbs and renting them out and kind of like pushing out the locals? Did that happen?
Locals who sell the property. Let's start there.
Right.
The locals are, especially this area. This area was one of the most bombed areas during World War II. A lot of the buildings were destroyed and people migrated to Canada and Australia and the buildings were left in ruins. So the poorest of the poor moved to this area, which happened a lot of places in the world. And only since joining the EU, when did Malta join the EU?
2004.
2004, Malta joined the EU, so money came in from the EU. Need I say, the gays moved in and renovated a lot of properties. And people had homes and apartments that they didn't want to live in anyway because there was a stigma. There was a stigma to live in this area. And so making apartments and rental properties was the right thing to do at the time. I don't know whether it's over, like a lot of countries now it's being
prohibited.
Yeah, what's the other word? Legislated a bit.
Yeah, like Portugal.
Yes. And so that's one of the reasons we left France too. We had an Airbnb in Nice and they were about to put in some laws about how many months a year you could rent it and things. So we did it for a little while and the tourism economy here is one of the biggest economies. It's also a place people want to come and people want to rent. So the locals rent out their properties as well. The non-Maltese tend to follow the rules more because you never know if you're going to get inspected, whereas the locals know how to get around some of the rules. And again, that happens everywhere. Pushing them out, I don't know is the right way. I mean, we're sensitive to that ourselves, but it doesn't seem to be the attitude we're feeling here.
So the good thing about this economic growth is that the life of everybody is improving. You know, so people start being too jealous or to be nasty to foreigners or to anybody actually when they feel the others in their life is not improving just like their neighbors. And that is not the case now because everybody's life improves. And that's a very good thing for the cohesion. Yeah, exactly. We don't know how long it's going to last. The thing is that it's an ex-poor country because it was really pretty poor 25 years ago, 20 years ago. And now it's got the GDP per capita of Italy, for example. So within 20 years, there has been a tremendous development, which still continues. It's slowing down a little bit, but it's still pretty big compared to other countries in Europe.
That's pretty impressive for that period of time. Okay. How about like groceries? And can you walk where you are to like a market or pharmacy and stuff like that?
What?
You answer that.
I mean, you can walk to the pharmacy, the doctor. So the story I like to tell is we have like a, you know, town doctor, like you imagine in the old days. So we have there's two actually in the city of Sanglia, but there's one doctor. You go see him in the morning or in the afternoon because he only works 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. But he's the guy you go to get your prescription for antibiotics or, you know, something basic, and you give him 10 euros. This is your copay, but it's also the cost of seeing the doctor. Of course, you have to wait in line. So you show up at the doctor at 9 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, let's say, before people go to work. And you show up and you see how many people are in line. You have to ask, who was the last one? And so, I was. And so you get in line that way. So there's no waiting room or anything. You just go to see the local doctor. That's for real basic things. So that's pretty cheap. You have a public healthcare system, which is quite good. So that's free. And then you have a private healthcare system. I saw the doctor the other day and it was 70 euros to see a neurologist, you know, for a pinched nerve kind of thing. And I think that's a good price compared to the US. And I saw him within a week.
So was that with private healthcare?
That was private.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it cost you 70 bucks.
Yeah. And that'll be covered by insurance at the end
of
the day.
So we have a private insurance. So we have the health insurance of the country because we have the hotel, so we pay social security.
Sure.
And then we also have private health insurance because it goes quicker. So if you want to, but very often we go to the public system. You know, if you want to have your blood check or anything, all this is free.
Yeah.
But if you want to have, you know, sometimes you feel better going to a private clinic.
Oh, I was going to ask, what does the private healthcare cost and what does the public cost?
You're talking about the insurance or you're talking about the cost of seeing a doctor?
The insurance.
Well, the insurance, it's pretty when we're going to tell you the price. It still amazes me. It's 1,000 euros per year.
For each of you. I mean, 1,000. 1,000 for you and 1,000 for you.
Yes, so it's 2,000. For both of us at our age.
That's pretty good. And how about, do they accept pre-existing conditions?
So it depends. I think once you've been treated, they know you've been treated. But I don't know if you came here. Actually, if you came here, they wouldn't know what you had. They don't do that sort of, they ask you to fill in a questionnaire and you tell them what you need to tell them. But I don't think that's a big effect because it would be free otherwise. They're just making it, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the public health system would be free no matter what.
And if you have something serious, you get treated much quicker as well. And they have a reciprocity with England still, with the UK. So if you needed to have a really emergency surgery they couldn't do here, they fly you there, put you up, and get treated in the UK.
Yeah, it's pretty well.
And do you have well-equipped hospitals? I'm sure you do on the island.
Yeah, I think we think so. I mean, we're not specialists, but I mean, every time we, it doesn't seem to be.
I don't think the hospital is
pretty new. Actually, the hospital is pretty. It's newer than the hospitals we went to in France. Actually.
Oh my gosh! Yes, and the medical system in France is very good. The hospitals, I would say, have some work to be done compared to the U.S. You know.
How long is a wait? Like if you had something, you had to see a specialist.
So that's the thing. We don't know because knock on wood, but we never had anything serious. So the thing is that Michael had one day the back problem and he needed, injections. And this he went private because that was much quicker. But if you have something, that's not urgent, you can wait several weeks, I suppose. I don't know.
I think a guy next door had a hip replacement and it took him a long time to wait. So this is a story we always hear in the U.S. about the wait time.
Oh, yeah. There is a wait time. It never used to be that way, but now it is.
Oh, okay. You're going to wait. You're talking about the U.S.? Yeah. No, but here.
Yeah, you're going to wait two, three weeks. It's always
this discussion.
No, but you hear that. Sorry. Mark said 2 to 3 weeks.
All right.
No, here it could be 6 months.
Oh,
in a social system like that. Yeah.
It's not going to be that long here.
But if you got cancer, you will be treated right away. Okay.
Right.
You know, so we had a neighbor, they saw that he had cancer and he got into the hospital right away. So
how much do you pay for the public?
Nothing.
You don't. You pay social security contributions. So it's 10% of your salary.
Okay. Because I know in Spain, if you're coming over as an immigrant expat, the public system, if you're over 65, I think it's $170 per month.
I don't think here we could benefit from the public health system if we didn't contribute to it. I don't think so.
You mean if we hadn't contributed to it?
Yes, if we hadn't.
So when we retire, we can still benefit from the public system.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because,
we've already contributed.
Yeah, Spain, they let you, but you have to pay for it.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
There's no free lunch.
So in your area, can you walk to a restaurant? Can you walk to a market and get food?
So we have lots of restaurants here. There's a market. We have an organic market and a regular market and a flea market. Very important things. A walk away. And then today we did two big grocery stores by car.
Yeah, we need to take the car for them, which is new to me because living in Paris, you don't have a car. But here we need a car.
You need a car wherever you go here?
You need a car for many things, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't. People can survive here without a car.
You can. If you want to go to a supermarket, you need a car.
No, there's buses. We have ferries. We have traditional boats. Cycling is not easy because it's quite rocky and hilly here. A lot of traffic. But a lot of people don't drive, but we wouldn't survive.
No. But we have a scooter here. So most of the time we use a motorbike. We use a motorbike because traffic is pretty bad here. So we use a motorbike.
Do you find food more expensive because you're on an island? Everything has to, it's like Hawaii, like everything has to be imported from the mainland?
I think it's slightly more expensive, but it's not like compared to Paris, I think it's about the same prices.
We're about to have elections here, at least local elections, and they've made a commitment to lower the price of 20 food items, you know, so they must have done that because they've been hearing complaints that the price of food has gone up,
which it has
everywhere,
but I don't know that these 20 items are going to change anybody's life, but I think that was that, but the fact they're doing that tells you that they're hearing something. So that's important.
Here they would just argue and not getting anything done.
But it's, you know, this is this thing that probably happened in the States too and is very common in Europe after COVID, that prices shot up, prices of everything for good and bad reasons, you know, for good reasons because, price of transport, blah, 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 and all this. And then also because people took advantage.
Yes.
So I think it's something pretty common in the West And now people are starting to say, okay, this is enough now. And then they started, yeah, it's true what Michael's saying now there. And you see a lot of advertising of supermarkets competing on the price of things, for example, which never happened before.
We get a lot of food imported from Italy.
Pretty good food.
Well, yeah, but it's closer. So we get it on the ferry. We have right. big ferries that come here. Other countries as well, but a lot of food comes from Italy.
Yeah, a lot of food is imported, so that's why it's probably also more
expensive.
But it's, I don't know, I think some things are more expensive than in other countries, but I think it's pretty similar to a big city in the rest of Europe.
How much is, well, you don't do gallons, so you do liters, but how much is gas?
So gas is very affordable for Europe because it's 132 per liter.
But 132 per liter. How many liters again in a gallon?
Four. It's a liter. Yeah, I think it's a little less.
We're talking five something.
$6
a gallon.
$6.
$6 a gallon. Okay. So
how much is it in the States?
Around here, and it's kind of expensive here in Phoenix, but it's $3.69
a gallon. That sounds expensive to me for the U.S., but I have no idea now.
Yeah, but you go to California, a place like California, where taxes are higher, and it's probably in the fours there. Used to be in the fives and sixes, but price of gas has come down recently. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
too.
So though here, the price of gas and the price of electricity, actually the price of water, is regulated by the government. And it's a big thing here. So the recent government, I mean, the current government was elected because they promised to lower the price of water and electricity. And so that kind of remained even during the war, because of the Ukraine war, you know, prices of all this has risen everywhere in Europe. Here, electricity did change, gas didn't change, and the gas you put in your stove and the gas you put in your car didn't change either. But we think, you know, like Michael said, there are elections coming up in a couple of months, and we think that after these elections, things are going to change.
Yeah, as you know, we have elections coming up.
Yes,
that's all we hear. Yeah. So, and people are like, oh, what's your escape route? You know, if things happen. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't want it to even go there. But we'll see what happens. So how about, does Malta produce wine or do you import it from France and Italy?
No, there is wine in Malta, but it's a very small, there's very limited space. So it's not a lot. I'm not a specialist, even though I'm French, everybody thinks I'm good at wine. I'm not. And so I think there is some pretty decent wine here, but not extraordinary. But the rest is imported from Italy mostly. And they have good wine.
So we see a lot of Italian wines because it's easier to transport from Italy. Yeah. We get French wines, but they're overpriced French wines. Get South African wines. There's a lot of South Africans moving to Malta. That's their escape route. And several of the Maltese wines, they use some Maltese grapes or they do some processing. So we're not quite sure what's 100% Maltese and what's a portion of Maltese. Yeah. But there's a few that are labeled Maltese that are pretty good. And then the majority are not pretty good.
So they're not as inexpensive as they are in other parts of the EU, like Spain and
it's cheap.
And Portugal.
It's cheap.
No, did you say expensive or inexpensive?
Are they inexpensive or?
Yeah, Maltese wines. Yeah.
It's very inexpensive. Even French wine. I mean, we bought wine for today. What was it, €6 a bottle? Or something?
No, first of all, it was Italian. You really don't know wines. it was a white wine. He's like, oh, this is red. So French wine's quite expensive here, in my opinion. I mean, you can find a few that are imported from Italy, the French wines. But, I mean, compared to France, I'm sorry, the wine is not the same.
It's more expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in
Spain, there's Italian wines here that are good price and good quality, very good quality and good price. So
because in some places it's cheaper than water, bottled water.
Well, in France they were complaining at some stage that, you know, even on the road you would, on the motorway or something. I mean, you cannot do that anymore. But in the past, when I was young, you could buy a glass of wine. It was cheaper than a glass of Coke.
Yeah, I believe it. I definitely believe that. In Malta, I'm trying to picture, they don't have any type of public transportation?
They have buses.
Buses, we have buses, okay. Yes. But there's no like tram or trolley you around?
No. We have ferries. Okay. We have boat ferries. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Probably because it's hilly, right?
It's hilly and there's not a lot of, again, there's not a lot of room. So, right. So I mean, they're talking about building a metro here, but it's, again, that's a topic they used before elections, but it never sees the light.
That's the topic.
Because there would be so much money to invest for such a small population that it's not worth it. So I don't think
it's... So trying to picture, how long would it take to drive from one end of Malta to the other?
It's quite long. It's about 2 hours.
To drive?
2 hours? Yeah. Okay.
But it depends. The traffic's very bad, okay? So if it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, of course, it'll be quicker. But if it's during normal hours, it can be very long. So it goes, to go to Chacawa in the north. To the
from third, here, it's an hour.
It's 1 hour 40. It's an hour. Yeah, it's okay, hour. So maybe less.
No, it's less than 2 hours. Okay. I promise you. It from the south to the north, it's an hour. If you're from the south, it might. Nobody lives in the south to go there. But technically, it'd be about an hour and a half to go from one tip to the other. Then you have traffic.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's kind and so of
we
have, even.
That's why we have a boat ferry that takes us from this part around the island to the top, to the sister island of Gozo. And that's 45 minutes by boat.
And that's also why I'm kind of
trying to compare it. When I used to live in New York to Long Island, it used to take us longer to get from New York, Brooklyn, where I lived, to the tip of Long Island. Yes, so that's actually shorter. Malta is actually shorter than that.
Oh, yeah, way shorter.
As far as distance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is the airport close by?
15 minutes.
15 minutes, okay. Yeah.
It's the best airport in the world.
Really?
Until recently, you still walked onto the plane and off of the plane, and that was really nice. Now you have to take a bus to go across, you know, 100 feet, but that's probably not for that's more security, I think. But yeah, it's a great airport.
Yeah. It just goes to, where does it go to? Like Italy, France?
It goes to everywhere in Europe, all the capitals. But it doesn't go any further than Dubai. Is that it?
Dubai.
I think Dubai.
No, not even Dubai. You change in Cyprus. Turkey. Istanbul.
Yeah. So
not bad. Yeah, not bad. And it's 15 minutes away. That's one of my criterias of living in a place. Close airport. Hospital's close.
That's so, yeah, right. The airport. One day I took the plane to go to Paris. I went there and then I checked my luggage and then I suddenly realized that I had forgotten my headset. I had enough time to go back home, take my headset.
Oh my God.
Come back and I was still early to board the plane.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Not here. Can't do that here.
No, I couldn't do that in Paris.
So let's talk a little bit about crime or maybe even lack of crime. Malta, I'm sure they don't allow guns, correct?
No,
everybody.
There's no country.
Just like
in Europe,
I think the EU is pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, there's some places in the EU that allow guns, but
hunting. We have hunting guns.
But not anything like what we have here. The mess that we have here in the US.
It's something very difficult for us for us Europeans to understand why a government would allow guns, but we know that it's part of the. It's a big problem in the U.S.
And it's do you think if it's difficult for you to understand, it's difficult for me to understand what the hell is going on? You know, it never used to be that way. Nobody ever had guns when I had grown up. You know, maybe they had them, but
But from the outside now, it looks like you all accept them. It must be everyone likes them now. I'm being facetious.
Not everyone likes them. There are a bunch of people that wish that they never existed because they only cause trouble. And the way people think these days is like, oh, the solution is to arm more people, which is ridiculous. I mean, here in Arizona, it's open carry. People could just carry a gun on their holster, you know, on their pants,
and it's normal.
It's considered okay. It's legal.
Yeah, that's
where when I see it, and I'm from New York, it's not legal in New York. Open carry is not legal. So I'm a New York native New Yorker, and I look at that, and it's just like, oh my God. Yeah, it's not a comfortable feeling. It makes you wonder if you're going to the supermarket, if something's going to happen, or you're going into a venue, a concert or something. You know what? I sit home and watch TV as far as that's concerned. I don't remember the last, well, maybe a few years ago I went to a concert, but...
Mm-hmm. In Malta, you can still leave your wallet on the table at the restaurant, walk away,
come back
the next day, and it's either there or the restaurant has it, or your phone or something. There's some places you wouldn't do that. For the majority of places in Malta, is super honest. We still wear our wallets and phones in our back pockets, and don't worry. You know, it's really that's a nice feeling. It's a very nice feeling.
You leave your door open.
Until recently, people left keys in the car. I mean, it's an island. Where are you going to go? You steal a car. Where are you going to go? So.
Yeah, it's true.
That's such a novel idea, feeling safe in a place.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's very, very nice, actually. Very nice.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the thing I like the most about Malta. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't know how long it's going to last, of course, but it's very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. That in itself is worth $1 million to me.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, I don't have a problem if I take my dog. If I lived in Malta and I take my dog out at 2 a.m. to do his business, I won't feel unsafe at all.
Same with women. So you know, women very often they ask on forums, "Oh, is it okay if I travel by myself?" It's like, absolutely no problem.
Yeah, it's.
But to be honest, and there's some places in Malta where you have lots and lots of nightclubs and a lot of young people, and you know, so you have, you can't, I don't want people to think that everyone in Malta is like that, but the majority of Malta is, I can say that.
Of course.
So you might have in those places like petty theft, like pickpocket.
Yeah. Pickpocketing, or you've got fights, you know, like the guys that get drunk and go after it. But it's not
they're not going to shoot you.
No.
It's very, very rare that they shoot people here.
And it's often for like a Eastern European or
the Eastern European that come, they get drunk and they fight.
Okay. We won't go there. So do they have, is homeless population, is that a thing at all?
No, it's not a thing. It's not a thing for two reasons. One is because it's prohibited. It's prohibited. You cannot beg.
It's prohibitive.
Yes. And the second part is that it's still a very Latin kind of family, kind of a country, you know, like where the family nucleus is still very important. And so they don't understand. We had this discussion several times. They don't understand why in Northern Europe you have so many homeless people. And they say, but don't their family take care of them? You know, it's like, so they say here it wouldn't happen because we would take care of them. But that again is probably going to change because like everywhere, you know, like because of housing is costing more and more money. So you cannot have your grandmother, you cannot have, you know, at home. So it's no longer what it used to be. So it would probably change, but you don't have, it's true. I mean, in Paris, if you go into the metro, you get asked for money every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Here it never happens. Extremely rarely.
It's like in the States too, like in New York, and the subways here in Phoenix on the light rail. There's a lot of homeless around that area. And it's really sad, and it's become a really big problem. So I've been to some cities like Portland and Seattle where they have actually tents, you know, tent cities, and they're, you know, one after another. It's so sad, you know.
Yeah,
it's a big problem. I don't know what the solution is, but
we heard some cities in the US. We have some people, some Americans are actually really here because they didn't feel safe in the city they were in.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, so what do you wish that was in Malta that you may not have in Malta that you had elsewhere?
Amazon?
No, we have
Amazon.
Yeah, but not like...
No Amazon Prime.
No Amazon Prime.
We don't have Amazon Prime.
No Amazon Prime. So you do have Amazon and it takes a while to get it?
That's it. I mean, it takes a while. If you want, you can if you pay, you can have it overnight. But that would cost a lot of money. If you want just like the normal Amazon, you have to wait, I don't know, a week or something.
Okay.
Because the thing is that that's probably the thing that is the most difficult here is that because the population is so small, because the country is so small, and because it's an island, everything has to be imported, like we said. And of course, they cannot have an inventory like they would have in a big city. Of course, it would make no sense. So it's very, sometimes if you want something very precise, very particular, there's only Amazon. That's it.
And no Costco.
No. That's a good answer. I wish we had a Costco, but I don't as well. So
I'll call Mr. Costco up and say, "Hey, Malta."
Yeah. No, IKEA we get from Italy, so we can have that delivered at a cost. So even that we get here.
Yeah, there are plenty of companies that actually go to Sicily, which is not far away, and they buy. So you shop online and they bring it to you.
Okay.
But of course, they charge you 25% of the price. Buying local. But we try to buy local as much as we can also because we want to support the business. But sometimes either it's like so expensive or they don't have what we want and we have no choice.
Well, so, what do we miss here that we don't have?
And for me, it's also the food. It's the French food.
French food.
The diversity of food.
Yes. Yeah. Paris, especially, I'm sure is a great place for food.
Yeah. And I'm not even talking about high-end restaurants because we have high-end restaurants here. So if you want like super good food, you can have it. It's just the casual thing, you know, it's like you go to Paris to a casual restaurant around the corner and it's going to be good and it's going to be affordable. It's going to be easy, served quickly, blah, blah, blah. So this I missed the most, but, you know, apart from that.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Can you just briefly tell us how to obtain a visa? Is there such thing as a retirement visa?
I don't think there is a retirement visa. No, I'm pretty sure there's... I mean, you can retire here, but you have to pay, and it's quite expensive. I think you have to pay, what was it, 20,000 or 25,000? It was Canadian dollars. But I think it's €20,000 per year to stay here.
A year to stay here? Wow.
Yeah, it's quite
just for the visa?
What about a residency?
It's not really a visa. I think it's a residency.
A work?
No, it's not a work visa. It's a residency as a... non-EU citizen. It's definitely EU citizens. They have no problems because this is part of the EU, so you can move it. But if you're from outside of the EU, it's a self-sufficient visa probably or self-sufficient status. I don't know exactly what's it called. And you can stay here, but you have to pay.
Or you have to prove that you have money, like a pension
coming in?
So what about the thing where you pay $500,000 or whatever?
Golden visa.
Yeah, if you want to become, you can become Maltese. You can buy a passport here, which is highly controversial, as you can imagine. But that's 1 million euros.
And there's one with the property, if you buy a property. So yes, the Chinese come and they buy a property, they don't pay 1 million euros.
Say 1 million euros, it's because you have to buy a property for 650,000 euros. But you get a property that it's sealed, 650,000 euros. And then you have to pay, I think it's 300,000 to the government. And then you have to give to a charity 50,000. I'm not 100% sure of the amounts, but it's in this region. And so in the end, so it's roughly 1 million. That's what I said, 1 million investment. And then you get a European passport, actually, because you get a Maltese passport, which is actually a European passport. That's why the EU is not very happy about that, because basically they're selling something that doesn't really belong to them.
Right, right. Yeah, you can buy EU citizenship
or residency.
But Malta wasn't the only country doing this. I think
There's a lot of countries that do the golden
country. It's the last country doing it now.
So, yeah, and the other thing, what you're saying, the golden visa is another thing. So I was talking about the passport. Then you become a European citizen. The golden visa is a different story. It's a visa. It's less expensive. It's less expensive, but it's still not cheap. I don't remember exactly how much it is, but it's not cheap. But
so
we
you
have
can
American,
actually buy a European passport.
Yeah, that's amazing. So it's a lot of Russians and Chinese who do that.
Used to be Russians. Now it's only Chinese.
Oh yeah, maybe not.
The Russians don't come anymore. No.
They don't come anymore?
They're not allowed to.
Okay.
And because you know they buy this passport not to live here, but if something goes wrong in their country, they have a sort of escape route.
Escape route. Which is
which
good
makes
to
sense.
Have here.
And it's for a super rich Chinese and stuff. So, but the golden, we have a, so Dash and how do they stay?
No,
here?
They don't. So that's why he keeps going out of the country. And, he has, so there's something called a nomad visa. So lots of people who are working remotely, they'll have a nomad visa, but they still have to leave the country. That's not, they don't get anything from it except the permission to stay longer than a tourist.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Right. It's not easy. And it's not cheap either. So if you did buy property, you recommend working with an attorney in Malta, correct?
For sure.
Okay. For sure.
Okay. And living there for so many years, are there any cons that you can think of?
Well, I think we covered a couple of things. Traffic.
Yeah. Traffic.
No, I mean, it's like any, it's a, I think people I know who lived in Hawaii will tell me the same thing. They got island fever. So it's good to get off the island and go other places and do different things. But it's also, I think at our age now, we're easier to please and you're happy to, I think if I was younger, I wouldn't want to spend my whole life here. This is for sure.
And it's also because we both come from big places. So we saw that we enjoyed that. We've done it. We used everything Paris or Miami had to offer. And now, because we're older, we're like, okay, been there, done that. We want something more quiet.
And we travel. We get away, you know.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about you have hotels, right? Is it hotels?
We have a hotel
and an Airbnb.
Oh, tell us a little bit about it. Where can we find it or our audience?
Well, it's I will give you the name. It's called Senglia Suites. Senglia, that's Senglea, and Suites like Suites. And it's, so you can, for now, you can only find it on booking.com, unfortunately, because we haven't finished the website, or on Facebook. And it's a small 6-bedroom boutique hotel. We tend to say nicely decorated, and so it's near the area where we live, and
or you can just email us at Eric and Michael at sangliasuites.com.
That's it.
There you go. There you go. Excellent.
So we're quite happy. It's been a big good project.
That's great, gentlemen. In wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking of relocating to Malta?
Well, definitely a place to consider.
Do your homework.
Yeah, do your homework. And if you're American, then that's, yeah, you do your homework and see how you can come here and be legal. But so we have several people from North America. We have Canadian friends, very good Canadian friends that moved here several years ago and bought a property here, but they have to leave the Schengen area every 90 days and be out of the Schengen area for another 90 days. So right. Depending on your lifestyle, depending on, you know, if you have these people, they have several properties, so they can go to other places. So it's also a matter of how much money you've got and your lifestyle and all this. But it's definitely a nice place to live in. It's also, it gives you access to all the European countries very easily. And I think that's right. A very nice thing, because, you know, you're like maximum 3 hours away from most of the cities in Europe. And that makes it extremely convenient.
Sure, I think it also depends on people's objectives, why they want to move somewhere else. So they want to move to Malta. A lot of people are moving to Portugal now.
Right.
But if they don't speak Portuguese, they're going to be in a community with a bunch of English-speaking people, which is right. Okay. Maybe that's what people want. You know, some people want that easy approach, and I don't say that in a negative way. That's mm-hmm. that's what fits some people. So I was lucky because I was in France and I learned French, and that's helped me in so many different ways. But not everybody does that, and Portugal seems to be attractive. But I think we're hearing people say, "Yeah, but you know, we don't really fit in because our objective is we want to be out of the States, or we want to live in Europe or whatever it is." These Canadian friends Eric's mentioning do a lot of home exchanges. So they have properties and then they move around and it's like they live somewhere else, but they're really letting out their own home and people come to Malta. And that's also another way people can discover Malta, do a home exchange or, you know, come visit for a short period of time and see how it is. we had finished looking all over the world, and one day our friend said, why don't you go to Malta? And we were on a plane the next week, and we didn't fall in love with it the first week. But then we came back and said, this could really work for us. So you just don't know. But definitely do the homework, talk to a lawyer if you're going to think they're going to buy something. That's important.
Malta is not for everybody.
No.
So that's why, you know, yeah. There are things that are, you know, like, for example, people who love nature. Here, nature is very limited because, of course, it's a small place.
It's a rock.
And it's a rock. In summer, it's all dry and yellow, and you don't see any green anywhere. So some people don't like that. But, you know, it's not for everyone. But for us,
check it out. Yeah, I'd say exactly. Check it out. And I just actually, I'll give a plug. I just teamed up with a company called TrustedHouseSitters.com. So what they do is you pay an annual fee. It's not much. And you interview people via Zoom that want to come to your location during the time you're going to be away on vacation. And they walk your dogs, they house sit and pet sit your animals. So it's a great way to get away for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as long as mm-hmm. the person that, you know, wants to visit your home, they stay in your home. So it's really good. It's at www.trustedhousesitters.com, and you can get a 25% off. There's a /WDGR, Where Do Gays Retire, 25. So that's trustedhousesitters.com/WDGR25, and you get 25% off of your annual fee. So that's good, a little plug.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
All right, gentlemen. So thank you so much for joining us today in the podcast. I learned a lot about Malta. It seems like a great place. I do want to visit. Absolutely. Please. Certainly a place to visit, and maybe I'll stay at your hotel.
For sure.
So thank you again, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure was ours. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.